Sunday, we continue to see the way in which Christ and the light of the world demonstrate that God's perspective differs from our own. The last few weeks, we've seen the light of the world crashing into our darkness. We've seen that light penetrate into individuals and communities. We've seen that light go deeper and transform our understanding of darkness altogether. This week, we see the perspective of God differs qualitatively from our own. Christ looks with the eyes of the Spirit. We look with the eyes of the flesh. Paul discusses what this perspective of the flesh leads to in our reading from Romans today, that the mind set on the flesh is death. And this indeed is where our perspectives lead. Things that make sense to us, the surface of this world in general, seems to tend towards death in our eyes. That seems like the conclusion. So yes, the perspective that is set on the flesh naturally concludes in, ends at death. But that is not all, Paul points out. Such a perspective also then is against God. The mind that is set on the flesh cannot appease God or serve God in any way. Which, of course, is all another reason that it leads to death. And this perspective of the flesh, it clings to us closely. It is one that we can't get rid of very easily. Indeed, this perspective is what makes sense to us. It is how the world works. In many ways, death is treated as this final awful thing to be avoided at all costs. And many times this will then give rise to self-serving behavior to assure ourselves that we have what we need to avoid the pain, suffering, and death in this world. Indeed, this perspective will often go so far as to say the world must function on our terms, so that we can understand it, so that we can feel powerful within it, so that we can take some level of power and control. In which case, we then balk against those whose perspectives differ from our own. The perspective of the flesh is that we must get everyone to agree with us. Or, of course, it will say that we are terrible beyond measure and leave us in despair altogether. And so, this fleshy perspective will disrupt families, communities, and nations. In families, we see a fleshy perspective that demands every member agree, and if not, be hunted out, be cut off from one another. In such a situation, we find individuals either having to give up their own ideas, perspectives, sense of identity for the sake of unity, or dismissing themselves from the family or being outright kicked out. In communities, we see this in polarized environments that say it's all or nothing. You must agree with all of us positions or you're against us. There's no room for us to give small compromises. Say, I agree with some of this, but not with this, and still be able to make our point known. The fleshy perspective between nations demands that everything goes the exact way for one, and if not, then we will get into quarrels, to fight. Now, when this occurs, we see quickly the way it leads to death. This is the challenge of perceiving the flesh, and we begin to then think, based on that perspective, that those who are left over must have been in the right, that they are righteous, that if we can survive death, then that means we are good. Which, of course, all the more lends itself to a fleshy perspective that puts death as the final word. It says, well, if we didn't do that, then we are in the right. This is not, I think, what we are focused on. And yet this perspective of the flesh rears its ugly head throughout our gospel lesson today. And it shows how subtle it can be at times as well. Mary and Martha lead off with the perspective of the flesh as they ask Jesus to come and heal their brother Lazarus. They say, we know, Jesus, that he is ill and that we cannot help him. We need you to heal him. Jesus, of course, has a different perspective. During delays, the disciples also have a pretty fleshy perspective. First saying, we can't go back to Judah because the people there tried to kill you, tried to stone you, and that would be the worst thing. Let us avoid that and stay here. When they hear that their friend Lazarus has died, they're then willing to go, not because they need to offer hope or promises of life. They go to mourn death, and indeed, as Thomas highlights, are willing to die themselves. Let us go that we also may die with him. The perspective of the flesh says death will just breed more death. When Jesus arrives, we continue to have this perspective shared from Mary and Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The crowd said the same thing. If this man who healed the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? Couldn't we have prevented this worst case scenario from happening? That is the perspective of the flesh. And in all of these, Martha alone holds out some possibility of another perspective. Even now, Lord, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Even now, I know that there is some level of hope in you, even though Lazarus has died. Maybe there are other possibilities. Jesus tells her, your brother will rise again. Probably heard this from others and says, yes, Lord, I know, but that can't possibly be now. The fleshy perspective says, no, this couldn't be. And yet Jesus comes back with, no, it is now. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will not die. Do you believe this? And she's able to say, yes, Lord, I believe. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one who is coming into the world. She makes this bold declaration of faith. A very spirit-filled perspective. But then she demonstrates, too, how the flesh clings to us so tightly, even making that assertion as they go to this place of death, as they stand before the tomb, and Jesus says, remove the stone. She says, we can't do that. He's been dead for 4 days. The stench will be overwhelming. That this perspective of the flesh still clings to her tightly. She cannot envision the possibility of that life to come forth. And this is no knock against Martha. I think this is where a lot of us stand at our best. We want to follow Christ. We want to see the light of the world. We want to have that spirit-filled vision and perspective. And yet when the world comes challenging us with concrete proof that death is here and seems so strong, we revert back to that fleshy perspective. The stench of death is too great for us to overcome. Thankfully, God is at work throughout our reading today to bring this other perspective, to share with us the Spirit and a Spirit-filled vision. And we know that where this will lead us, as Paul says, is to life and peace. That through the Spirit, the fruits of God are produced in us and in this world, and this is where we are called to remain. See, this is what God shares with Ezekiel today. The Spirit-filled vision that he brings Ezekiel into the valley of dry bones. God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And we're reminded that Ezekiel is immortal and has this fleshy perspective. But he gives a pretty spirit-filled response. Oh Lord, you know. Anybody else ask me that, I say no, 100%. But Lord, you have possibility. You can do anything that you would want. You're the one who brought me here to show me this, and I think you would know if these bones can live. You are the one who formed us out of the dust and breathed life to us in the first place. And perhaps Ezekiel then says, Lord, take it away. Show me what you will do. But God shares with Ezekiel some volition, some action within this work of God here in this valley of dry bones. You, mortal, prophesy to these bones. Tell them to come back together. And Ezekiel watches this happen. That this statement that he makes in the name of the Lord works. And perhaps now he thinks, okay, now I'm done. Now God will breathe life into them. They're standing there. They're ready to go. But I can't work with the Spirit. That's beyond me. And God says, no, Ezekiel, you too prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to my living breath to enter into them and give them life. Speak yes even to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may come and share with them the life that they need. Still does. Nothing happens. Because of God's behest, but God is sharing with Ezekiel the truth that he can share this vision of life directly. That he can point to this word of God that brings forth life out of death. And this is to sustain him in his own ministry. He is given these spirit-filled glasses, the spirit-filled vision, so that he can carry it to the people of Israel who see themselves like these dry bones. Hopeless, despairing, they see only death. Ezekiel is to use his own words to share with them a perspective from God that says the Spirit is at work to bring life, healing, and restoration. You will be brought up out of your graves, O my people. You will stand before God once more, and you will know that God is your God. You will know that God loves you. That's the Spirit-filled vision Ezekiel is called to carry with him. And this is the vision that Jesus has consistently to share with the disciples and with us. Now Jesus immediately, upon hearing of this illness, sees the truth that it does not lead ultimately to death, but to the glory of God. Yes, death is a stop along the way to that glory of God, but death is not the ultimate conclusion. That is the Spirit-filled vision in a nutshell right there. We put a period where God would put a comma. Because no, the conclusion is not death, but life. He tries to get the disciples to share in this vision with him that we can go back to Judah to see the light of the world at work, and they only see the darkness still. Lord, they're going to stone you. He goes, who cares? The light must work while I am here. I must shine out regardless of the darkness around me. We must go tend to Lazarus. I must bring awaken him. And Jesus knows, he's saying, I must bring him life. Of course, they think it's just sleep. They say, we don't need to go. They forget immediately that Jesus talked about waking him, and they all talk, as we've already heard, about going to die with him. But Jesus holds out this vision and says, no, I am glad I wasn't there, so that you too can see with spirit-filled eyes the work of God in this world that brings life out of death. That's the same spirit-filled vision that Jesus longs to share with the community, with Mary and Martha, even with Lazarus as he comes back to Judea. He shares this with Martha very clearly, and she responds positively to it. When Mary comes and weeps, we hear that this Holy Spirit is also one of tender compassion. The Spirit of Christ is deeply moved and is distraught as Mary weeps. And Jesus weeps alongside her. He knows still all that he is to do. He will not allow this fleshy vision of death to overtake him. But in compassion says, yes, I will offer life. I know it is hard as you wait. Let us go to the tomb, or I will do just that. Of course, others just only see the tomb as a place of death. Jesus still has this spirit-filled vision that sees life. And so Jesus offers this statement that the Father is at work here, that God's glory is to be made known. They can trust and believe that God is up to something,
because God is with him and has heard him. The Spirit is still at work. Then it is made known to all as Jesus calls Lazarus forth. And the breath of life enters once more into Lazarus. And the glory of God is made known. People can look with the Spirit-filled vision that sees life is greater than death. And those remnants that still cling so closely that would bind him and their perspective are removed. Unbind him and let him go. May you all see clearly the eyes of the Spirit that bring life. Dear brothers and sisters, Christ is still at work today offering the same vision to us. In this meal that we share here, Christ enters in this bread and wine, body and blood, to call us out of the ways in which we are bound to the perspective of flesh that only sees hopelessness in the world, that only sees the way that people aren't like us and don't understand things the way we know need to be done, and calls us out of this into a newness of life, calls us beyond our perspective that would lead to death and to one that will lead to life and peace. And we who receive this perspective are called, like Ezekiel, to carry it into the world, to speak it to those around us. Others who are struggling with darkness and despair, who see only the death of this world, we bring a vision of the Spirit at work, still offering light, hope, and life. We do this because this is what Christ has shared with us. For this gift that God offers, this Spirit vision that can see life even in the midst of death, hope even in the midst of despair. This gift lays hold of us and transforms our own perspectives. Such a gift as this that grants us such life and peace, we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.